Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer, and welcome to The Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Thursday, March 21st, 2024. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, Johnson settles into the speakership. Number two, the Smith-Wyden tax bill is in jeopardy. And number three, the latest on TikTok. All right, let's get into it. We are leading Punchbowl News AM with a look at Speaker Mike Johnson. We've got some news. The House and Senate leaders released the six-bill, 1,012-page minibus package just before 3 a.m. They are scrambling to get a vote on the House floor tomorrow, followed by a Senate vote as soon as possible in order to avoid a partial government shutdown at midnight on Friday. Now, let's talk Speaker Mike Johnson. He told us Wednesday, quote, "Don't bet against me." Well, Washington has been betting against Johnson since the Louisiana Republican ascended to the Speaker's chair, and most of those bets have paid off. The latest bet was that the spending bill text would be released Wednesday before midnight. We won. Barely. But if all goes according to plan Friday, Johnson will have cleared a massive hurdle in his nascent speakership, fully funding the federal government through fiscal year 2024. Now, let's not go crazy. The fiscal year began nearly 6 months ago, so this achievement is pretty late. Johnson and his GOP colleagues didn't notch any major policy victories either. Preventing the Biden administration from banning gas stoves won't save the majority. House GOP conservatives have grown skeptical of the speaker as they head into the spring with little to show on the legislative side. The budget deal is essentially a freeze. Perhaps a little cut after inflation, but Republicans promised a lot more when they took over in January 2023. Yet there's something to note here about Johnson and his style. He settled into being a fairly standard Republican speaker for the most part, unwilling to play the games of the hardline right and jamming through legislation that the GOP conference broadly accepts. So let's talk about that. Here's a few ways that he is basically running the House business as usual. Number one, secret talks. This is basically how all big major legislative deals get done. It is not surprising when the big four meet with the White House, hash it out, their staffs hash it out behind closed doors, especially when it comes to the end game. However, Johnson, far from decentralizing power, has kept the leadership, meaning his office, in control of everything. Number two, wins. This is an actual compromise. That's important, right? Compromise is kind of a dirty word in Washington these days. Republicans and Democrats both got some wins. Democrats are, of course, touting the 12,000 special immigrant visas for Afghans who helped the United States during the long war in that embattled country, as well as more money for childcare. They blocked nearly every Republican poison pill across the six bills. Republicans were crowing about saving gas stoves, increasing the number of ICE detention beds, more border patrol agents, the cuts to foreign aid, and preventing the State Department from flying non-sanctioned flags at U.S. diplomatic compounds. Third way that this is running pretty much like in your average speakership, he's ignoring the House Freedom Caucus. At a certain point, senior House Republicans learn that dealing with the House Freedom Caucus is like nailing Jell-O to a wall. Johnson has learned this too. He kept them in the loop and listened to their concerns, but ultimately, Johnson went his own way on the dual spending packages. Case in point, the speaker is waiving the 72-hour rule in order to avert a shutdown Friday. Some hardliners are complaining, but ultimately, Johnson isn't bending to their demands. Number four, the Fiscal Responsibility Act is a reality. Former Speaker Kevin McCarthy was pushed out in part for cutting the act, which conservatives saw as a bad deal. But guess what? Johnson kept that deal in place. He was forced to by both politics and circumstance. Johnson needed to bring the spending fight to an end because he had a weak hand. And the reality is that the Fiscal Responsibility Act is pretty good for Republicans, which conservatives eventually figured out. And number four, there's not been a government shutdown. A shutdown would have been really easy for Johnson. The speaker could have shored up his right flank by showing the right that he was willing to fight with Schumer and President Joe Biden. But the House GOP leadership took a shutdown off the table early. Why? Because shutdowns are useless and Republicans would have lost the PR war handily. So that's how he's acting in a fairly kind of standard way when it comes to running the House floor, making deals, cutting deals, ignoring the irritant of the far right that has been one for many speakers prior to him. But let's talk about what is on his plate going forward, because he has some big decisions that he's going to face in the near future. First of all, Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. Johnson said Wednesday that his next order of business is figuring out a way to have the House consider foreign aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. He didn't show his cards here, but did allow the GOP leaders have considered moving the bills separately or even converting them into a loan, mostly at the behest of former President Donald Trump. Now, Johnson's going to have to tread lightly here. The Senate has passed its bill with 70 votes, and patience among Ukraine and Israel backers is starting to grow thin. Two discharge petitions are already gathering signatures. Johnson is going to need to be decisive here. He's also got FISA, the federal government's surveillance authority, expires in April. Johnson has tried to have the two warring chairs, Ohio GOP reps Jim Jordan and Mike Turner, craft a compromise FISA bill. This will be a big test of his refereeing capabilities. FAA, there's a lot going on in the aviation world. Boeing's problems are well documented. The U.S. major airlines are brawling over additional slots to Washington Reagan National Airport, and the FAA is a big bill. He's also got fundraising. The NRCC got absolutely shellacked last month by the D-Trip. Johnson's campaign committee raised $8.1 million compared to the DCCC, which raised $14.5 million. All right, let's move on to the number two story of the morning from the vault. We've got a look at how the Wyden-Smith tax bill is in deep trouble. The Senate Finance Committee's top Republican Senator Mike Crapo of Idaho told GOP colleagues privately on Wednesday that he doesn't want to pass a tax bill this year, according to three sources with direct knowledge of the conversation. Crapo spoke about persistent problems with the legislation after negotiations on the Wyden-Smith deal broke down last week. Crapo's remarks came during Republicans' weekly policy lunch on Wednesday. According to one attendee, Crapo made a chopping motion with his hand while declaring he wouldn't do a deal with Democrats on taxes this year. This is going to not be good news for a lot of folks that were hoping to get the R&D tax credit as well as the child tax credit passed for this season, long ahead of the 2025 Trump expiration of those tax cuts. Going to be interesting to see if there's any more movement here. We've got more in the newsletter about all the details in the back and forth about what might happen. Let's move on to the number three story of the morning. We've got some news. Senate Commerce Committee Chair Maria Cantwell, the Democrat from Washington State, and Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo spoke by phone earlier this week about Congress's efforts to address TikTok, among other issues, according to two people briefed on the conversation. The phone call, which hasn't been previously reported, comes as Senate leaders have yet to decide how to handle the House-passed bill that forces TikTok to divest from its Chinese parent company or face a U.S. ban. It also comes amid questions about whether the Biden administration will make a more concerted legislative push for the House-passed bill, which is at risk of stalling out absent a real pressure campaign from the White House. During the call with Cantwell, Raimondo reiterated the administration's view that Congress should act to counter the national security threats posed by TikTok, according to the sources. Raimondo has generally praised the House effort in the past. Biden has said he would sign the bill if it reaches his desk, and the White House has said have been talking it up in recent press briefings. So what's next? A classified briefing for a select group of senators Wednesday left more questions than answers about whether the House's bill will ever make it to Biden's desk. While senators expressed grave concerns about TikTok after the briefing, the path forward is unclear, to say the least, as the two powerful committee chairs appear to be split. There's, of course, Senate Intel Committee Chair Mark Warner. He has been supportive of the TikTok ban bill. He told reporters Wednesday that if Congress doesn't act this year, we missed a huge opportunity. How many times do you get 352 votes for anything in the House? Warner said. Still, Cantwell is signaling she wants to pump the brakes so that senators can better understand the impacts of the legislation and avoid unintended consequences. She's also suggested holding a joint hearing with Warner's panel, something supporters of the bill feel could sap momentum from the effort. There's one person to watch here that I haven't talked about yet, who's holding his cards very close to the vest. That's Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. He said Wednesday he's still talking with fellow Democrats about the best path forward. The New York Democrat has not committed to putting a bill on the floor, but has expressed support for taking action against TikTok in the past. This is going to be one that we're going to be watching very closely in the coming days and weeks. With that, thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it. If you like the Daily Punch, please share it on social media. It's the best way for folks to find out about us. We have a new event that we're posting this morning. Punchbowl News Managing Editor Heather Cagle will interview Representative John Joyce on Thursday, April 18th at 9 a.m. This conversation, presented by CTIA, will focus on news of the day and how 5G supports America's global competitiveness. You can RSVP at our events hub at punchbowl.news and also sign up for our free morning newsletter. All it takes is an email. Have a great day and stay safe, everybody.